This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. Hope everyone has a great, great weekend. And we are glad to kick off today's show with Scott Hinke, On-Site Consulting. How are you, sir?
I am doing okay.
How's your last couple weeks been?
It is going well, especially because I'm going on vacation next week to Hawaii.
All right.
So I'm mentally in Hawaii right now.
Where are you going to stay there?
We're going to go to both Kauai and Maui.
Wow, we love Maui. We were supposed to actually, we went in 19, and we were supposed to go in 20. And, of course, all the COVID stuff hit, so we need to rebook there. But, yeah, Maui is awesome.
Yeah, it's all awesome over there. And they had huge COVID lockdowns, and they're all coming out of that. So now they're allowing visitors back. That's like 95% of their economy is tourism, right? And they shut the whole state down for almost a year. So we're eager to see what it's like when we get back.
Have you ever been to Pearl Harbor?
Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome, isn't it?
Man, yeah, great place to visit, especially Memorial Day.
Sure,
you know, coming
absolutely
up.
All right, On-Site Consulting, and Scott Hinke is the owner of that for 100 years now.
Yeah, so. I'm almost 100.
All right, so let's kind of talk about let's talk about the last few weeks, kind of what you're seeing in your shop, and you know, folks coming in and what they're needing and asking.
Well, the biggest thing, and I think I've mentioned this on every single show you've had me on, is scams. Everybody's coming up with scams, and they're not the same one last week that we see this week. They're just getting really ingenious, and they all usually stem on the fact that you clicked on an email. It's not like somebody is purposely targeting your house and zeroing in on your computer or anything. You clicked on the email that said, here's your pictures from Hawaii. Okay? And you go, huh, I haven't been to Hawaii yet. How can I get my pictures? And you click on it. And when you click on it, you get a virus. And in fact, something pops up that says, warning, clicking on this may give you a virus. But we're so conditioned to just clicking yes, even though we don't even read it or think about it, that we get the virus. And usually nothing happens on your screen. You just look like, huh, must be a bad attachment. And you go on with your day. But that's actually started the process of getting that virus on the computer. A lot of scams with people calling saying they're the IRS, Amazon, UPS, the governor.
They're endless, aren't they?
They are. And they're coming up with new ideas that people haven't heard of before, like stimulus check. Hey, we're having a problem giving your stimulus check. Can you please confirm your Social Security number and stuff like that? They're just endless, and it's hard to warn people other than you should be suspicious and paranoid that someone's out to get your money.
Absolutely. I mean, when you look at this whole idea of viruses, I mean, it's amazing just how they affect the world.
Right. Yeah, viruses, I had to do some research on this. They actually had some viruses way back in the 60s. You know, that's before we had modems. They just started with the internet, and some computer companies, we're talking like the government, in between the government said, look, I just sent you something that installed something on your computer without you knowing it. Huh, that's amazing. That's interesting how you did that. And that's when they just started realizing you can send somebody something and affect somebody else's computer without you being right in front of it. But since then, it's gone through a lot of iterations, and it's getting really, really awful, like what's happened in the news recently.
Sure. So let's talk about all the, when something comes up and people find a need, they invent something to help us fight that spyware.
Yes.
So kind of walk us through when it first started, you know, what were we using then, and how has that transformed to today, you know?
Well, I can go back to about 1995 when we started warning clients about, hey, you need to get an antivirus program. There weren't even antivirus programs. So one of the few out there was Norton. They're one of the first ones. That's why they're a big name in the United States now. That doesn't mean they're the best one, but they are a big name. They do a great job, but Norton happens to slow down your computer quite a bit. But, and it runs a program. And I remember back in the 90s, telling people that this program protects you from 1,500 viruses that are out there. And that was a big number, 1,500. There are close to 1,500 a day being produced right now. That's how many are produced per day. And when something comes out, it's not instantly going to protect your computer. It's called the zero day exploit or something. That When it comes out today, nobody knows it's there. So Norton and other companies have to research it and find out, oh, look, this program, when you're on Microsoft Word on a Thursday, it infects your computer. So we've got to find something to protect it or notice it and protect it. And then Microsoft's got to lay out a patch. You're looking at several days before something can actually protect you from the virus that came out today.
Okay.
So antivirus programs are really updated 20 times a day with detection engines and things like that to protect you. But that's protecting you from the virus that came out 5 days ago.
Wow. Now, when you look at pop-ups, my technical term for them.
That's right. That's a technical word.
Man, is there a way to do you always want to block every pop-up, or how do you go about doing that?
Yeah, it's really hard to tell what pop-ups are right and wrong. Normally, they're all malicious. Okay, but except for the Windows ones and ones from your program. So it's hard to tell the difference between the two. And pop-ups are advertising. So if an advertisement's on a website, then you can't do too much about it. There's some ad blockers out there that block it out. Once in a while, that'll cause a problem. Like if you're looking at your bank, something on your bank may not pop up because you have a blocker on there. So you want to be careful at using those pop-up blockers and know how to turn it off if you need to. But you should never have a pop-up. Yeah, you got to take care of it because there are viruses that put pop-ups on your computer. A very common one is ones that pop up and say your McAfee antivirus program is expired. Well, a lot of people will follow through. They'll click on it and they'll pay somebody to renew it. And they never had McAfee in the first place. Yet they have a word in front of them that seems familiar, McAfee or Norton. So I must click on it. And it's not from anybody seeing what's on your computer. Your computer isn't sending you that. An advertiser is. Who's trying to sell you Norton, but more appropriately, they're getting your credit card information. So you're not losing $39 for buying a copy of Norton. You're losing your entire credit card. And somebody can go in there and buy whatever they want and probably get away with it.
Wow. All right. Now, there's something called ransomware.
Yeah.
Yeah, explain that.
That is the worst virus that could possibly be. And it started about 12 years ago with somebody who called us at our office, and it was a major company in Denver, and they said, hey, we're having a problem opening our documents. And this was so new, we had not had a lot of experience with it. We go over there, and every file on their computer has a password on it. So anything that the user has ever done, a picture of your kids, your QuickBooks, your Outlook email has a password, Word, spreadsheets, everything you've ever put on your computer now has a password to open it up, and you don't know what the password is. And the way that this company had the problem was somebody in the office opened an attachment, just like what I said. Here's the file from the printer. You go, where'd I get this file from? And they open it, but that was the virus. And that goes around from that computer to every computer in the network. So at this relatively big company, the lady in the front, who was a temp working at the front desk, just directing people to which office to go to, opens some stuff that goes throughout the network. And then the next day, something pops up on everybody's computer saying, hey, your files are encrypted, and you need to pay us $300. Okay, back then it was $300, and that sounded like a lot of money. But this company, when they came to us, they had never used us before. They had no antivirus on any computer, and they had no backup of their server. People just assume computers work all the time, and if something goes wrong, you take it to the guys at the CSI, and after commercial break, all the data comes back on your computer. Nothing in the world like that. So ransomware puts a ransom on there, and you have to pay the $300, or they will not unlock all of your files. So this one company that came to us said, well, what should we do? Can you clean it off? I said, yeah, we can clean off the virus easy, but you will not get any of your documents back. They have a password on it, and we don't know what the password is. The only people on the planet that know it are the people that put this virus on there. So we told them, you have to go. The direction said, go buy Walmart gift cards. And the reason they do that is because then you can't get your money back. You know, Walmart's not going to give your money back for giving them $300. And the criminals take the gift card or whatever and cash it in and get $300 out of it. So we told them to go to the local Walmart, buy $300 in gift cards, type in the number where that guy told them to type it, and it did. It unlocked all their files. Okay, and it is negotiating with the terrorists.
So you have seen it where they pay it?
Yeah.
And it's relatively immediate they unlock it?
It's in a day. They usually unlock it. And I've heard this thing where ransomware hackers are, reputable. They know they're going to unlock it because otherwise you're not going to pay the ransom the next time they do it to your computer. And this happens all the time. People, you know, you say you don't want to negotiate with terrorists, but if it's your business and right. it's all your stuff, you know, 90% of businesses who lose their data will go out of business.
So it doesn't matter. Now, if you have everything backed up, you have.
Well, here's the thing. That company didn't have anything backed up, right. which was incredible to think of, that a whole company had zero backup. But even if you do, it will also encrypt all the drives attached to you. So if you are at home and you back up to an external hard drive, it'll encrypt that drive. And if you're in a business and you have redundant drives in your server, that means more than one drive, it'll encrypt all of those. And if you have a cloud backup, that's where it backs up online, it'll back up your encrypted files to the backup. So the only solution is you go to your cloud backup, so you have to go online, and request the copy from 5 days ago. So you lose 5 days of data, and because it's encrypted all the way up till then. So that's what we would suggest to people, but mm-hmm. if people have zero backup, yeah, they had to pay $300, they had to unlock their computer, and then we had to fix it. Because then we had to clean the computers off the virus. The virus is still on there. So we had to clean everything up, we had to wipe computers out. You're looking at about, you know, $2,000 minimum to get a business back up and running if they had a backup.
Sure.
So
now do you have to bring the computer in the store to let you do the backup and make sure our computer should, I mean, do you need to see it, or is that something you remote in, or how does that work?
We usually go on site to the customer. We honestly don't want to bring their computers anywhere near our computers, okay? Because the same thing can happen. You bring a computer infected with ransomware into my computer shop, it could infect the other computers that are in my shop and other customer computers. We had to pay for this big, crazy firewall network that protects each station from infecting the station next to it. But we still don't want to take any chances. So we try to fix it at your site because you're already 100% infected anyway. And yeah, you pay the virus and it decrypts files. So that thing with that recently, that ransomware pipeline thing, I can't remember what it's called, the Northwest Pipeline or the Southwest Pipeline or whatever.
Yeah.
Continental Pipeline. They got $5 million. The bad guys got $5 million out of this. And I'm pretty sure it wasn't some major hacking into the system. I think they just sent an email and got into somebody's computer, infected everybody's. And mm-hmm. somehow they can detect how many computers in the network. So if you're just at your house and you get infected, they'll say $300 or $1,000, okay, because that's probably what you're going to pay. You go to this Continental Pipeline and you count up how many computers were hit by ransomware.
Sure.
They're saying, huh, let's multiply that out. Okay, $5 million. And the government or whoever paid $5 million to have this thing unlocked.
And there's no way for the smart people we have on the good side can track where this is coming from. On TV, it always works.
I know. I don't know how. TV does not work. And so I read about this, that this company, it's actually a company. We're not talking about one guy in a basement.
Right.
We're talking about a company, and I can't remember the name. It's called Dark Web something. They actually made $60 million total out of this one ransomware hack. So they sent emails out to, let's say, 500 million people. And that's not exaggerating. And 0.1% of those people opened it, and 0.1% owned a business. They go after those people, and they pay the money. And it's just like I said with Walmart, except you pay the money to Bitcoin. Bitcoin is this coin that you hear about a lot on the news that doesn't really have a country attached to it. It's kind of a weird thing, but you can't track it. So you're basically doing the money laundering for the criminal. So they had to buy, or the government or whoever, bought $5 million in Bitcoin and sent it somewhere. I don't know how they don't get caught. I don't know why somebody can't just show up at the guy's house and
sure.
arrest him for $5 million. But the whole company shut itself down in 5 days. So that's what happens. You start a ransomware scheme. You go rent an apartment. You send out all these millions of emails. You get as much money as you can in 5 days. And when you feel the heat starting coming on, let's just close up the apartment.
Yeah.
I got $60 million out of this. I'm going to go buy another house,
sure.
you know? So they never caught those guys. And I don't even know what the situation is right now with the pipeline, because it doesn't just happen overnight. They've probably unlocked everything, but now they've got to protect that it doesn't happen again.
Right.
And it may not happen to that pipeline, but I think the infrastructure, well, every business is at risk of this. And it's not just the computer guys that have to keep you safe. It's people clicking on that attachment that right. says, here's the pictures from Hawaii.
So companies that really don't stay on top of this, if they don't have a really sharp IT person that knows all of these things, they're really in a possible predicament, aren't they?
And unfortunately, we've had customers that come to us after this has happened, and it's catastrophic. Sometimes we have to say, look, you need to pay $1,000 for this thing, and because that's the way you're going to get up by tomorrow. We could do our job. You're going to pay us 10 times that to clean every computer in the shop. Plus, you're going to be out of work for a week. Mm-hmm. And so you have to decide what to do as the owner of the business. So best thing, though, is to back up. But you have to have that redundant backup where it doesn't just make one copy. It makes a copy every day. So you can go back to a past one. And then, of course, you need an antivirus program. I highly don't suggest the free one that comes with Windows 10. There's one called Windows Defender, and I don't think it even works. So I would not use that one. I would pay for a program that has, you know, a bunch of people analyzing to make sure you don't get a virus.
And I think you got us to do ESET.
Yeah, ESET's right? A really good program. You know, most of the really good programs come from Europe. There's ESET, Bitdefender, F-Secure, some names that you guys in the United States have never, ever heard of. But the ones in Europe are really good because that's where they're making the viruses. The guy in the apartment next door is making the viruses, and the guy in the apartment next to him works for the company that prevents the viruses. That's where they originate, is in Europe.
So do we need ESET and these others that you mentioned, or you just need one?
You only need one antivirus program. Okay. We had a lady come in yesterday, three antivirus programs on her computer, and wondering why it keeps blue screening and shutting down. You could only have – it's like having three engines in a car. You cannot have three engines in a car. They're going to go different directions. You can only have one antivirus program, but it's got to be a good one, and I suggest paying for it. Don't rely on a free one. And then, of course, you have to stay up on your updates. So there's three major things that you got to do. Get your backups, get an antivirus program, and make sure you do updates and have somebody look at your computer besides you that knows about computers. A lot of times, you know, we sit in front of the computer all day long, and we just kind of take it for granted that it's going to work tomorrow. But you got to have somebody that looks at it to know to check all the updates. And the reason Microsoft puts out updates, because that's a security hole that they discovered. And they're going to put a patch on it so nobody can get in through that security hole. Well, if you don't do the update, Microsoft's just announced to the world that there's a security hole, and that's where they're going to write the next virus to get in through that security hole.
Right. So when we get these updates, you know, we'll kind of separate this out. We're talking about computers mainly, but so when you get any update, should you do? Now, don't be an attorney and go, well,
I know. It's really hard to say if you should do an update. Like on my phone, you get an update, and it says you need to do this major update. I try to wait about a week.
To see if something comes out about it being messed
up. Yeah, because something usually does come up about it. Now, when do you do that and when do you don't? I try to delay it like a day or two if I can. But you shouldn't delay it too long. You know, there's a lot of people on Windows 7 still. Windows 7 stopped making updates, I think, a year and a half ago. So that means all those patches that have come out, or all those holes in Windows 7, do not have any patches. So people are breaking into computers, the hackers that have a security hole that are really easy to get into. Windows 7 and old servers more than 10 years old that run major companies that are 10 years old, and the business owner will say, well, it's still working. You know, right? There's nothing wrong with this. Well, I'll tell you what, that's a huge security hole for your business.
Right.
So
should we, and again, Scott Hinke is with us, On-Site Consulting. Their number, 720-482-8383. Should we bring our laptop in maybe just once a year even? Let's say we think it's running great. Just to get some kind of check or have you remote in?
Highly suggest that. In fact, we're going to tell you later, we're going to offer something just for Haystack customers. Just mention the word Haystack. We'll do a free diagnostic on there, absolutely free. We're going to test the hard drive because the hard drives are what fails in like 3 to 5 years. Okay, your hard drive is going to fail. I know there's a couple people listening that have a 15-year-old computer and said, my hard drive's never failed, but it will. Okay, so you got to check your hard drive. We'll do that for free. We'll check to see if you have two antivirus programs or zero antivirus programs, and we'll just check your updates. You know, us computer guys could do this in our sleep. It takes us a couple hours to do all this. So if you mention Haystack, we'll do the diagnostic for free. We're not going to fix everything on your computer, but it lets you know you got a friend in the business, you know, help you out with your stuff and let you know how you're doing.
It's just like all of our businesses here, I mean, people we can trust. I don't know a thing about laptops, you know. I'm texting you all the time when I see something on my phone and going, hey, is this real? Because, I mean, they're good at it.
They're right.
Okay. Yeah. And, I mean, they look official. from different things such as banks, whatever.
Right. I will gladly, you guys can go to the website later and get my email address off of there. You guys could forward me any email 24 hours a day and say, is this a scam? And 99% of the time, sure. I'll say it is.
No.
Sometimes it is true. And I have to do some research, like, my gosh, am I going to tell the person the wrong thing? And I have to research it because I am not sure either.
Mm-hmm.
But they have logos that say Chase Bank. They have logos that say eBay, Amazon, your package is being held by UPS, whatever. It looks super official. But that thing that you click on is the thing that's going to load all the viruses on your computer.
Right. Now, let's kind of talk about some of the computers that you have available. Maybe someone's saying, boy, you know, I've just been putting off getting another computer, but don't really want to spend a ton of money.
Yeah.
You've got some pretty good deals.
We do. And we have a showroom full of refurbished computers. Businesses or governments recycle their computers every 3 to 5 years. One, I think that's crazy that the government is spending that much money on computers every 3 to 5 years, because you could just fix it. And so that's what we do. We'll buy these computers in bulk, like pallets of computers, and then we fix them with a brand new hard drive, one of the high-speed solid-state drives. And then we put a warranty on it, just like Dell and everybody else does, just like your Best Buy or your big retailers do. We put the warranty on there, and you can buy it at about a third of what you can get it at a store. You know,
okay.
And we're really encouraging people to do this a little bit sooner rather than later. As a thing that's coming in the near future, we're talking about 2 or 3 months, there's going to be a shortage on computer chips. Okay, you don't think about this too much until it happens, but all the computer chips are made in the same place. It's around China somewhere. I don't know exactly where, but or Taiwan. And when things happen over there, there's a giant ripple effect for the entire world. Several years ago, there was this flooding in Taiwan. Every hard drive manufacturer was affected, every single one in the world, and we couldn't get hard drives. Well, recently, they just had an article on the news today about cars. Cars require chips in there to run these new, or every car now has a computer in there somewhere.
And man, you can go look on dealerships' parking lots. They are vastly different than normal.
Yeah, they're running out of cars, and they're mostly because they're running out of these chips too that are in the car. Well, those chips are also used in hard drives. So either the older, slower spinning drives have a chip in there, but the really fast, high-speed drives have a chip in there. And they are going to be starting to ration hard drives. So I've been told this already. There's a large retailer and store called Micro Center, which is a great place to go. But they're going to limit hard drives per customer. You have to show your ID. They're going to mark you off a list that you cannot buy more than a certain number of hard drives. And for a business like me that uses 5 or 6 a day to help fix our computers for our customers, we can't do that. So we're going to have all of our employees go to Micro Center once a day. Everybody buys one hard drive. We're trying to figure a way around this, but you know, normal people will hoard toilet paper during the COVID, and computer
You're
guys are going to hoard computer chips and memory chips.
Wow. All right. So what if people are just looking for some of the things like an extra keyboard, a mouse, you know, monitors, things like that.
Oh, yeah. We just rented a storage unit for some of our extra stuff. And I would rather give it away than move it to the storage unit. Okay. So if you got any visitors, we don't want to tell the whole world, but if you got any listeners, we are giving away keyboards, wired mice, which I think are better than wireless keyboards and wired mice, but we have some of those too, even some 19-inch monitors. So if you just want to come over, mention Haystack Help, and we'll give you one or two. We had one lady who wanted all 60 keyboards, and we're not going to do that, okay? I don't know what you're going to do with 60 keyboards in your house, but she just wanted to hoard keyboards. You know, we're going to be reasonable, one or two per person, but
sure.
Just come on over. And in fact, we're going to give a discount on our desktop computers too. Now, we have desktops as low as $150. The entire computer with Windows 10 and a high-speed $60 hard drive.
Wow.
For about $100. But we're going to give everybody $100 off, if you mention Haystack, for any computer over $200. That gives us about $30 in profit, but it helps people out.
Sure.
You know, we have people who come in with computers 15 years old, and we say, please do not use this computer anymore. Please buy my $150 computer. So, you know, we get them in the door. We help them out with right where they need to be. We help a lot of seniors and ministries and nonprofits. So we will gladly help you and your listeners out.
All right. Once again, the number 720-482-8383. And your address, Scott?
It's 6446 East Hampton Avenue. That's the corner of Hampton and I-25. It's in a King Super Center.
Absolutely. And if you go there, please mention you heard him here on Haystack Help, and we'd appreciate that, and Scott would as well. And again, Scott has a big heart and open to helping people. And if, you know, he said you're a minister of some sort, church minister of some sort, seniors, whatever, we want to try to help you, and we sure appreciate Scott being able to help us there. So really, I mean, if we look at maintenance on our cars, we kind of need to think of our computers like that too, right? And just every once in a while, they all need something.
Right. And if you think about a car is like a computer. A computer is like a car in so many different ways. Like when you get a car recall in the mail, sometimes you get the recall done and sometimes you don't. And sometimes it matters and sometimes it doesn't really matter. But if you think about updates, you get a car recall every week. It's actually called Patch Tuesday. Every Tuesday for the past 25 years, Microsoft releases all of the patches it found between this week and last week. And that's like getting a car recall. And you need to change your oil in your car, and you need to have somebody look at your car other than you. You know?
Sure.
Because I don't know anything about cars.
Yeah.
Frankly, I don't know one thing about a car. I just know when it doesn't work, I am super stressed out, and you might as well bring it to somebody. Especially, we're going to give you guys a free diagnostic.
Yeah.
Just come in. We will do it for free. You have to leave it overnight. We're not going to do it while you wait or anything. But leave it overnight. We will do this for free. We want to keep you and all your listeners happy.
All right. Once again, their address, 6446 East Hamden. The number is 720-482-8383. And I know we're going to be traveling a lot here a lot more often, the weekend and all. And Scott, reflecting back, got a couple of minutes left here on our show, kind of give the warnings on connecting to all the free Wi-Fis of where we may travel.
Yeah. When you connect to any free Wi-Fi, you know there's a warning. It pops up on your phone or your computer, and it says, warning, you're connecting to the Motel 6 wireless network, and your information can be seen by others.
You crack me up.
And guess what?
Motel 6.
It is. Everybody in the Motel 6, if you had a smart computer guy sitting in a Motel 6, they could run some stuff that might see your data, okay, going through the radio waves of the Motel 6. Now, if you're a smart hacker, don't go to a Motel 6. Go to the Bellagio and go to the Hiltons and stuff like that. But be careful when you connect to a free wireless network.
All right. Scott, as always, we appreciate it. And thank you so much for the discounts. And thanks for all you do. And I hope you enjoy Hawaii. Bring me a T-shirt.
Yes, I will.
Me and Charlie.
Okay.
Right.
Sounds good.
All right. That's Scott Hinkey, On-Site Consulting, 720-482-8383, 6446 East Hamden. We'll be right back.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Have you been thinking about a new pair of glasses? Maybe some prescription sunglasses? Well, look no further than Stack Optical. Since 1968, yes, you heard me right, since 1968, Stack Optical has been providing the most comprehensive quality ocular care for their patients. This family-owned business is proud to be one of the few optical offices that has their own on-site eyeglass production and eyeglass repair studio. Stack Optical, located at 2233 South Monaco Parkway, features the most extensive lines of eyeglass frames, sunglasses, and contact lenses to ensure that you love your appearance and experience superior comfort. Our comprehensive eye exams proactively diagnose eye conditions and diseases while providing the most accurate vision care. We welcome you to experience a lifetime of superior ocular care from doctors that are devoted to your eye health. Call now for your $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. At Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
At Flesh and Beck Law, your attorney sets you at ease from the first meeting so you have the space to think clearly. After an injury, you immediately start worrying about how you will afford the healing process. You start thinking about insurance deductibles, physical therapy appointments, vehicle repairs, and how to pay for rent in the meantime. Listening to one calm, qualified voice throughout the process will help you think rationally instead of making decisions based on anxiety. Call Flesh and Beck Law for a free, no-obligation consultation, and you will talk to a lawyer right away, not some legal assistant who just wants to find out how much money your case might be worth. Then, once you and your attorney both decide to move forward with your case, you will continue working with that attorney the whole time. The same person who meets you for a consultation will also sit beside you in court. Eliminate the fear of the unknown. Call Flesh and Beck Law at 303-806-8886.
You're listening to KLZ 560, your home station.
Welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for being with us. We're going to be playing for you here these next few weeks some segments from a show that I have the privilege of doing in Dallas with a doctor, Dr. Lewis Coates. And he has a family medical practice there in the Dallas area. And he just brings some great information, and I wanted to share it with our Haystack audience here as well. So again, he is not a local doctor. He's out of the Garland, Texas area, but just great health information. So we're going to join that conversation now with Dr. Lewis Coates. Dr. Coates, always good to have you, sir. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
You bet. Let's just take a minute through this time of year here, and summer is upon us, and just kind of what you're seeing on a day-to-day through your practice there, what folks are coming in mainly for right now.
Well, this time of year, we start to see a lot of allergies. The allergies are usually pretty high. People are getting outside and doing more things outdoors. So, you know, we see the little sprains and, you know, ankle sprains, knee sprains, pulled something in my back, was cleaning the garage, you know, a lot of injuries, and then a lot of poison ivy. You know, people get out and work in the yard, and, you know, certainly we see a lot of skin rashes this time of year, most of it related to poison ivy.
Right, yeah. Yeah, hey, when you hadn't moved around much in a year and a half, easy to hurt that back cleaning out the garage. So, guys, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a lot of that, and people are out of shape. You know, a lot of people didn't do as much last year. So, you know, there's been a lot of deconditioning that happened over the past year. And so a lot of people getting out and doing things, and their body's just not quite up to it. And so they start trying to move a bunch of stuff, and then they pull something or sprain something, and, you know, off to the doctor they go.
Sure. Before we get to our topic today, we did get a question in. A gentleman was saying, and he kind of looked up, and he said, well, sounds like a is it lipoma? Is that a technical term, a medical term?
Yeah, lipoma is basically a fat tumor, okay? And it's when fat, instead of growing symmetrical, fat usually grows in sheets across our body. Mm-hmm. And instead it grows into a ball form, and you get this little, not, it feels like a, you know, golf ball under the skin or a marble under the skin, depending on the size of it. And they can get as big as softballs or bigger. Typically, lipomas are extremely benign. There's nothing you have to do for a lipoma. If it gets in the way of the function of something, if it gets so big you can't bend your arm the right way, or if it gets where it's sticking out of your back and it's visible through your clothes, then we'll go in and cut those lipomas out. We'll send you to a surgeon. They'll remove them. I usually tell people you don't want to remove it unless it's absolutely bothering you, because most people, when they remove it, are not very happy. You got to remember, when you cut out this big ball of fat, there's a big canyon in there that's going to look weird for quite some time until fat fills that void. So even when they cut it out, you'll have a big scar, and a lot of times the scar is more noticeable because there's an indentation where the lipoma used to be for quite some time until fat fills that void up.
Okay. Because this gentleman was talking, he said, you know, when he looks in the mirror, like one side or the other, I can't remember, like, and I'll just say the love handle or flank, whatever, one side is like three times the side as the other side. But he said, there, you know, when he feels it, there's nothing hard in there. It just feels like fat on one side. Is that unusual to have one side uneven?
Well, if you have a lipoma, usually you would feel like a little ball of fat. So, you know, it's probably something he should get looked at. If it's not, if he can't feel a symmetric, like a knot or a ball in there, then it might not be a lipoma, and it could be some other type of problem. But typically, your body grows somewhat symmetrical. It's not perfect, okay?
Sure.
You know, everybody's a little bit different on one side than the other, but it's not tremendously different. So if it's, you know, 3 inches bigger on one side than the other, then someone should take a look at that and make sure that there is nothing underlying that needs to be looked at.
Okay, great. Well, we'll get that answer to that gentleman. Once again, you're listening to Better Health with Dr. Lewis Coates. And we're going to visit something we did about 6 months ago, actually, and it's our urinary tract system. And a lot of issues can come out of this medically. And Dr. Coates, I guess we'll just start. What makes up our urinary system?
Well, the urinary tract system in men and women are relatively similar. The big difference in men is they have a prostate. But you start out and you have the kidneys, and the kidneys dump blood into the ureters, and the ureters carry blood down to the bladder, and the bladder is where the urine is stored and eventually excreted out through the urethra. So that's the main parts of the urinary tract system. Each part has different parts inside of it, but basically it's the kidneys, the ureter, the bladder, and the urethra. And the urine's made in the kidney. That's where blood's filtered and urine's made. And like I said, it goes through the ureter, stored in the bladder, and we keep it there and we hold it there until we go to the bathroom, and that's when it's excreted through the urethra.
Okay. So what do we need to know really about urinary tract infections? And I guess if we could start with just kind of, is there a generally just a couple of things that cause these urinary tract infections?
Yeah, urinary tract infections are extremely common in women, less common in men. But as men get older, urinary tract infections become more common in men too. And basically, a urinary tract infection is an infection somewhere along the urinary system, most commonly in the bladder, okay? But it can be in the urethra. Typically, when someone has urinary tract infection, they feel this persistent urge to urinate, okay? A lot of times it'll be painful, like a burning type pain when they urinate. The urine may smell really bad. A lot of times people come in and go, man, my urine's really dark, it's got an odor to it, and that's usually a urinary tract infection.
Hmm.
The most common symptom is what I call urgency. That's just that people feel like they have to pee all the time. They go to the bathroom, and they go in there and they come back, and they haven't been back 2 or 3 minutes, and they already feel like they need to go again. If you start to have symptoms like that, that's a very common symptom of a urinary tract infection. Sometimes the only symptom we see is microscopic blood in the urine. You know, some people come in for a physical, don't even know they have a urinary tract infection. We say, look, you got a bladder infection, and we get them on some antibiotics, and they're like, wow, I didn't know I had anything. And we'll culture it, and usually it'll tell them what bacteria grew out of it, and we can change the antibiotics based on that. But urinary tract infections are extremely common, something that's seen in almost every medical office on a daily basis. And most of the time, they're very benign.
But we shouldn't ignore, if you start seeing some different things like that, it's certainly worth a visit, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, urinary tract infections are not something to ignore because they can get severe, particularly the older you get. You know, actually, a very common cause of death in the elderly is what we call urosepsis. And that's where someone gets a simple urinary tract infection and ends up becoming septic, where the infection spreads throughout their body due to the bacteria spreading. And they get very, very, very ill. And in the elderly, a lot of times, urinary tract infections make them hallucinate, or they have someone to bring some a family member in and say, hey, my mom's down here for Christmas, and I think she's, you know, got dementia, or she's had a stroke, or, you know, and that's because she's saying crazy things. And most of the time, those are just simple infections. We'll give them weeks of antibiotics, and all of a sudden, everything's back to normal. And they're like, oh my gosh, I thought she had dementia. No, it's just a bladder infection, but they can get pretty severe. So it's not something that we really want to completely ignore. And a more severe type is what we call pyelonephritis. Pyelonephritis is actually an infection that gets all the way up into the kidney. If bacteria get up into the ureters and get up into the kidneys, they can often cause what we call pyelonephritis, and that causes your flank or your back to hurt really bad.
Mm-hmm.
So the way you differentiate a bladder infection from a kidney infection is we simply tap on their back. If somebody has a bladder infection, they'll jump when you tap on the back because the kidneys are so painful. And you can tell which side it's on by simply tapping on each side, whichever side they jump on. Usually it's pretty excruciating pain, okay? very similar to a kidney stone, okay? So, you know, if somebody has some type of kidney infection, it's extremely important to get that treated because now the kidneys are where the blood is being filtered, and it's very common for people, if kidney infections are not treated, to get into a sepsis-type scenario where the infection starts to spread throughout the body.
Right. And, you know, I was reading something here, so you can tell me if it was true or not, because it was, but it said kidneys filter 120 to 150 quarts of blood every day.
Yeah, and kidneys are constantly working. You know, the amount of work that the kidney does is incredible, and it's constantly filtering out all the toxins in your blood, like we've talked about before. Whenever you put something in your body, there's two ways your body gets rid of it. It's either through the liver or through the kidneys, but it has to be metabolized. If it wasn't metabolized, that toxin would stay in your body forever and cause problems. You know, you could drink two beers and be drunk the rest of your life, except for the fact that your liver starts metabolizing out that alcohol to get rid of it. It realizes it's not supposed to be in the blood and says, hey, I got to get rid of this stuff, and that's exactly what it does.
So, you know, sometimes I'm so thankful people do donate organs, but you see people that donate a kidney and do fine with this, but that's no easy decision to give up a kidney. How do most people do, you know, with just one? Can you, you know, live a normal life with just one kidney?
Yeah, actually, that's a really good topic. And yes, you can live, you only need one kidney, okay? You just need one healthy kidney, and you can live your entire life and be perfectly fine. The kidney is one of the few organs we have in the body that we actually have a spare on, okay?
Hmm.
And so a lot of people are born with one kidney that didn't develop correctly, or it gets diseased and dies at a very young age, and they never have any problems. For people that have one kidney, I usually tell them the main thing is make sure you protect that one kidney, okay? It's basically like your spare tire is gone, so you want to drive a little more careful, okay? Once a year, get your blood checked, look at your creatinine levels and your GFR, glomerular filtration rate. Make sure you know that those numbers are good, and don't take a whole lot of Advil or NSAIDs, which can potentially damage the kidney, and you'll be just fine. You know, you're talking about donating a kidney. Actually, one of my employees has stage 5 kidney disease, and we've been looking for a donor for her for quite, you know, a number of years now. It's not easy to find donors for kidneys. So if you're out there and you want to donate a kidney, you know, sign up on one of those organ donation lists, and you can save a life. I mean, you know, this is something that can be done by the general population, and it can save a life. And the kidneys are not, it's not easy to find a match for people. And so the more people out there that are willing to get on, you know, check their blood and find out if they're a match for someone and donate a kidney, the better. And it doesn't affect your life at all, except for the fact that you have a small scar.
Sure. And when you say match, I mean, we all try to figure, you know, I mean, let's kind of maybe break that down just for a minute, just to educate people on this subject. What is match? The size of the kidney, blood type? What are we looking at?
Yeah, you have to match. In order to donate a kidney, you have to match with blood type, and you have to match with some immune factors, okay? We have to make sure that, for instance, my employee, Margie, we have to make sure that her immune system doesn't reject the kidney and damage the kidney. So they do the best they can at checking the blood, testing the blood against each other to make sure there's no antibodies that are going to potentially harm the kidney and cause a problem. But unfortunately, when you get to stage 5 kidney disease, and luckily we have dialysis. And dialysis is basically a man-made filter, and it filters out those toxins for people. But dialysis is very inconvenient and very difficult for people. You know, you have to go 3 times a week and get your blood filtered.
Mm-hmm.
And basically they don't make any urine on their own. They're not filtering out these toxins. And so things that they take, we have to be very careful with their medications, because it's not going to, their medication is going to stay, if it's metabolized by the kidney, it stays in the blood until their next dialysis session.
Wow. Yeah. My sister, as I mentioned, had diabetes and passed away a few years ago, but man, we went up there a few times, Virginia, where she was living at the time, and saw her do the dialysis things, and boy, man, just, as we've said on this show many times, you want to stay away from it. It is.
Yeah, it's very difficult, and unfortunately for a lot of people, you know, they don't continue to do dialysis. They finally get tired of doing it, and if they stop going, then unfortunately, it can kill you because your blood becomes toxic. You know, you have to get those toxins out of your blood. You can't filter out your own electrolytes. Like you were talking about how much filtration the kidney does on a daily basis. Well, if you have stage 5 kidney disease, it's not doing that. And we have to have a man-made kidney to get that stuff out and clean your blood and make your blood safe for you again. So that's basically where we stand with stage 5. And, you know, you brought up the good point earlier about you can live a perfectly fine life with one kidney. And so certainly, hopefully, people out there, if we can get more people enrolled in organ donation, or just sign the card on, you know, on the back of your driver's license, you know.
Sure.
Other organs you can donate besides, you know, kidneys if you pass away. Unfortunately, you can use these organs to save a lot of lives, and, you know, it really helps a lot of people out there. And some are young kids. I mean, you know, it's one of the tough things being a doctor is having patients on this, you know, organ donation list, and you can't really do anything. You're just sitting there waiting.
Yeah, no
whether
doubt.
Whether the liver or kidney or whatever organ they need, you know, it's a long process, and it's hard to deal with waiting on that list.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, I just didn't realize how much kidneys did until I looked into all this, but one also article I was reading says kidneys monitor secretions of, and started going through all these things, pH levels, blood pressure, and then one word I wasn't familiar with, osmolarity.
Yeah, and that's basically how concentrated these electrolytes are in your blood.
Now, how are really diseases detected? You know, you mentioned the cancers, of course, but other diseases, that usually from blood work, that will usually show? And then, again, if we do it every year, we can catch it pretty early?
For the most part. I mean, the urine test, too, you know, looking for blood in the urine. A lot of people have blood in the urine, and a lot of times it's benign. But if it doesn't go away, it needs to at least be investigated. You know, it can be a sign of bladder cancer or kidney cancer. So if you have persistent microscopic blood that you can't see. So if you go in for your physical and the doctor says, hey, there's blood in the urine, we should recheck this in a couple of months, it's important to come back in those 2 months and recheck that urine and make sure that it's cleared up. If you continue to have blood in the urine, then we need to get you to a urologist, and they'll do a CAT scan, and they'll do a scope. They'll go in with the scope and look around for any signs of cancer in the bladder. You know, also prostate cancer in men can cause blood in the urine like that. So, you know, if somebody has persistent blood in the urine, that's a good sign of a potential cancer in the urinary tract system. That's probably the most common way to find cancers. And many, many patients, I mean, in my 25 years of practice in medicine, I'm not even sure how many kidney cancers that I've diagnosed, but a tremendous number. And the good thing about that, you know, cancer of the kidney is it's caught relatively early, is you can usually go in there and simply remove that infected kidney that has cancer in it. And they do have a really, really good prognosis. So it's one of those cancers that if you catch it early, that you can take care of and treat. And like we said before, you have a spare kidney. So if you had cancer on your right kidney, they simply go in, take out the right kidney, and they let the left kidney do all the work from there on.
Gotcha. All right. You're listening to Better Health. Once again, Dr. Lewis Coates is our guest. So what can we do just on a daily basis? And again, most of our audience is probably over 45. So what can we do here for the rest of our life to take care of our system, so to speak, in this area of urinary tract and kidneys?
One of the, you know, of course, as we've talked about, don't smoke. If you're a smoker out there, quit smoking, because smoking is a risk factor for bladder cancer and kidney cancer, you know, and a lot of other cancers out there. So quitting smoking would be something that you would want to maintain. The next important thing would be maintaining your blood pressure. You know, high blood pressure is what damages kidneys, okay? When we talk about blood pressure, we're simply measuring the pressure that blood flows through your veins, okay, and your arteries. And so when you're talking about the kidneys, these are tiny, tiny, tiny little vessels when they get into these nephrons, and that's what filters the blood. And it's like a net that catches these proteins so they don't go out in the urine and they stay in the blood. Well, if it's blasting too much pressure through that net, it starts to put holes in the net, and we start to see things like protein leaking out into the urine. And that's a sign of kidney disease. So we, you know, we definitely want to make sure that our blood pressure is maintained at a good level. If you have high blood pressure, you want to frequently check it and make sure that it's staying down. Blood pressure is extremely important for kidney disease. And diabetes. Diabetes is another disease that damages the kidneys. So if you're diabetic, you want to make sure that you keep your sugars down. If your sugars are real, real high, what happens in the brain is it says, hey, we've got a sugar of 400 down here. We need you to start getting rid of this. So it tells the kidneys to start making sugar and dump sugar in the urine. Well, you can't pee out pure sugar. You have to mix fluid with it so you can get rid of it. And so what happens is it's constantly pushing water out with this mix with this sugar. And so you start drinking all this fluid. You get thirsty all the time. That's why diabetics get thirsty and pee all the time. Mm-hmm. But they're simply trying to excrete that sugar. The kidney's trying to get rid of the sugar on its own since the pancreas is not secreting enough insulin to bring it down. And so that's a bad thing that damages the kidneys. Like we talked about earlier, NSAIDs, Advil, Naprosyn, aspirin, any of these non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, they cause damage to the kidney. So you want to limit the use of those. If you have a headache and you have some kind of kidney problem, don't take Advil or Excedrin. You need to take Tylenol. Tylenol is metabolized by the liver and not the kidney and doesn't cause any kidney damage. So Tylenol for people with kidney problems is a much, much safer option. And then drinking lots of water, okay? Making sure that you don't get dehydrated. Dehydration damages the kidneys, okay? So when you go out in this hot Texas sun and you're sweating, you have to make sure that you're drinking enough fluids to replace what you're losing, because people forget that, you know, there's a significant amount of fluid loss when you're out in this heat.
Sure. You know, a lot of people, of course, as most listen to the show, I grew up in the Garland, Dallas area, but now live in Denver. And, man, at our elevation, that's one thing that get people very quickly here is elevation. You know, even if they come from Texas and used to heat, we're closer to the sun here. And, man, you can get dehydrated very quickly.
Yeah, and dehydration is a huge problem. And, you know, it's we've already started seeing it here in the office. That's one thing I didn't bring up at the beginning. And we're starting to see a lot of that. And that's people that get out in this heat. They basically have some type of heat exhaustion problem. They're sweating a lot. They're not drinking enough fluids. And then their urine gets extremely thick and extremely dark. One of the signs of dehydration is if you're not peeing, okay? If you're not going to the bathroom every 4 to 6 hours, then you're not drinking enough water, okay, period. You know, you need to make sure that you're constantly needing to go to the bathroom. That means you're drinking enough fluids, because if you're not drinking enough, your body's going to preserve the fluid and you're not going to make enough urine. And now you're not perfusing your kidneys with enough fluid. And guess what? You're starting to damage them. And we'll see people come into the ER, you know, or the clinics, and they'll have their kidney functions jumped way up, and they were normal the last time they were in. And they're only abnormal this time because they're not drinking enough water. We get them rehydrated and their kidneys bounce back. Now, do they bounce all the way back? Sometimes, but not all the time. So you don't want to do this to your kidneys a lot. You need to make sure that you stay hydrated. If you're out in this heat, get you some Gatorade or water or something that you can drink to keep your fluid status up.
Right. And when you get with this whole matter of urinary tract issues, is that only in, you know, say adults over a certain age, or do you see this a lot in you know, teens and young adults as well?
No, we see it in newborns, okay?
Oh, wow.
And unfortunately, there's a lot of kids born, a lot, you know, that's one of the more common infections in infants is kidney and bladder infections, okay? Urinary tract infections. And persistent urinary tract infections can lead to significant hypertension later in life. So a lot of times, if we start to see kids with urinary tract infections, we'll run some tests on them to make sure that the flow is proper. if there's some kind of flow problem, sometimes, you know, we have to go in there and correct it. If it's something we think they'll outgrow, you know, a lot of these young kids, we put them on antibiotics every day, okay? And they'll take antibiotics for years and years and years on a daily basis trying to prevent more urinary tract infections while this urinary tract system grows and straightens it out. Because sometimes they're born, the curve may be too sharp and we're getting reflux of the urine. What that means is the urine's going backwards through the system. Some of it's flowing backwards, and that causes bladder infections and urinary tract infections like we were talking about. And unfortunately, if it gets up in the kidneys, it can scar the kidneys, and that can lead to hypertension later in life. And even in adults, you know, if an adult comes in and he's getting a lot of, let's say it's a male patient with a prostate problem at age 50, and he's getting a lot of prostate problems and urinary tract infections, then that can lead to scarring of the kidneys and certainly cause hypertension. So we try to avoid having a whole lot of these problems, and you don't want them to persist. You know, that's why it's important to get in, because if these infections go on too long, that's what causes the scarring, and then that leads to hypertension.
All right. Just about a minute and a half here, but one other thing I was reading real quick on the kidneys, it says they produce hormones, and don't know if I'm saying this word right, but is it calcitrol, an active form of vitamin D?
Yeah, vitamin D has a role in the kidney, and then, you know, we also have erythropoietin, which is basically helps us make our blood thicker, okay? So these are things that are, you know, the amount of blood volume that you have mm-hmm. is controlled somewhat by the kidney. And then your vitamin D level is balanced and your calcium level can be balanced. Like I said, all electrolytes, sodium, potassium, chloride, you know, these things are balanced out in the kidneys. And so it's important to make sure that we maintain that electrolyte balance. That's why it's important to have healthy kidneys. You know, when your kidneys go bad, you know, all of a sudden you start building up these electrolytes and you can't get rid of them, and that can be toxic to you. That's what I was saying before. When you get to stage five, you have to go to dialysis because you have no way to balance out these electrolytes. And the only way to do it is a nephrologist goes in and puts you on dialysis, and he manually is basically cleaning out the urine.
Wow. Well, Dr. Coates, a lot of great information, and we certainly appreciate your time. And, folks, look, all these topics we talk about, we want to keep you away from. And that's why we try to bring you the education from Dr. Coates to help you. But don't ignore some of these symptoms that we've talked about. And I'm talking to guys mainly because we're the ones that love to do this, just thinking it'll get better or we'll get through it. But, Dr. Coates, we always appreciate your time, and we'll look forward to our visit next week here on Better Health.
All right. Talk to you then. Thanks
all
for
right, sir.
The show.
That was Dr. Lewis Coates, and once again, if you're just joining us, Dr. Coates' practice is in Garland, Texas. We do a show each week there in the Dallas area called Better Health, and he just shares some great information, so I wanted to share it with you, our Haystack audience.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.